Well, hello everyone and welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson. Another great show for you this week. Dave, our engineer, loves it when I say that. Because I never start off the show with saying, sorry, we don't have a good show for you this week. It's always good, isn't it? But it is always good at the Boundless Show. Okay, later on, here's an example why. Glenn Letchins from our counseling department is in the studio to answer a question from a guy who wrote in and is just going through a lot of life transition, a move, college, trying to find a summer job, wanting to date but not knowing where to start. And he's kind of feeling depressed as a result. So Glenn is going to give him some encouragement. So listen in if you are even close to being in a similar situation. And then for our culture segment, Joy Egrich is here by phone. If you follow Joy on Twitter or have seen what she is doing, speaking out and about, she is Emerson Egrich's daughter and the director of Love and Respect Now, where they deal with relationship issues for millennials, those who are single, those who are married, those who are engaged, all different life stages in that sense. So she is here to talk about her own walk with singleness, as well as what she's seeing out there in the realm of relationships. So make sure you catch that. And here we are for our round table. I have got three fabulous folks with me. I have Erica, Anna, and Caleb. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you very much.
Hey, this is like intern central right here. So yeah. These are our three interns here at Focus on the Family. Not the only three that we have at Focus, mm-hmm. but our two for Boundless. Woo-woo. I think we have more interns. I think we have two. I think only other departments only have one. That's because
HR has two.
Oh, whatever, HR, we don't care about them. Okay, HR has two. Okay, we'll let them share the spotlight with us. But people love interning for Boundless, and not surprisingly, because we are amazing, okay? So if you do want to intern with us in the future, make sure you contact our volunteer department here at Focus, because that's how you get in. Unless you come through the Focus Leadership Institute, we take them too. That's what Anna's doing this summer. So mm-hmm. woo-woo. And Caleb is interning for another department, but we let him slip in here as well.
Well, thank you.
So that's good. all right. Well, we are addressing this topic in our roundtable, and you will soon find out what it is, because we have received in a month and a half's time at least 11 emails about this. Okay. So I have a summary of them here. In fact, I have them all here where people have written in to talk about, okay, we love that Boundless talks about dating and relationships, but what about if I have actually never really been on a date? Okay. And I'm talking about people that are in college. I'm talking about people, emails from folks. So one girl here is 33, never been on a date. A couple of guys who are just like, not really sure how to go about this, not really sure if I should, not sure if I'm in a position to date. And or I have just asked a bunch of women out and they have said no. So Lisa, you're telling me to be intentional and to go out and get it done, but I'm just at a standstill. So, we have pulled in a few of our folks here who are willing to talk about this in their own lives. Of course, you guys are all young. And I mean, some of the people that wrote to us are young as well. But still, I think there's that idea that you're in college. That's kind of the thing mm-hmm. that you start doing and mm-hmm. whatever. So we're going to hear from your experiences there. And of course, for myself, I did not date at all during high school, in part because I don't think my parents were really, I don't even know that they would have let me.
Same
here. And secondly, I just don't know that I was into it. Oh, I was into some guys, let me tell you, but they did not ask me out. And so I guess I was just stuck. But okay. Isn't that always the way it works out? It's like the ones you're interested in aren't interested in you, whatever. Ah, it's my life,
like
my
lot
in life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then as I got into college, I went on a few dates, but never was in a serious relationship at all. And then was probably my 20s. I don't know that I hardly dated at all, maybe just a few here and there. It was really in my 30s when I seriously started dating. Probably just because I was like, seriously, I'm in my 30s, people. I guess I need to start doing this. I don't know about that. That's a whole other podcast. So I want to start by asking you guys, what, looking back on high school and now your college experience, how did you think dating worked? Like, what was your perception in your head? I mean, did you have perceptions based on growing up in church or seeing other people date or hearing your parents kind of tell their stories of how they got to marriage? What were you expecting kind of going, especially into college and figuring that, yeah, maybe this is when the time frame when it's supposed to happen? What were your thoughts?
For me, I thought that there would be a great pool of eligible young ladies. I would go and buy coffee, sit down, very relaxed, nice social time, and then just continue and work off of that. Mm-hmm. But it is not so. I found out that My college experience, girls dress one step more modest than secular society, and I wasn't interested in that, so my pool of dateable options was limited.
Okay. So, and are you talking about at a Christian school?
I was even at a Christian school, but...
Yeah. So, obviously, you would assume, oh, yeah, this is going to be easy. This is going to be... Okay. How about you guys? What, Anna, what was yours?
Going into college, like, around every corner, I was like, oh, is that my husband? Mm-hmm. Like, I was kind of like, more like, I'm here to get my MRS degree, and I'm going to get it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm actually done with college, and obviously, that didn't happen for me. So, it's hard to look back, but, like, my parents told me I couldn't date till I was 16. And so I was, you know, thinking somebody would ask me to, like, go get dinner and go to a movie and just kind of, like, how can you make me feel good about myself, you know, kind of build up my self-esteem, having someone like me. And then when I got into the early years of college, I kind of jumped on the bandwagon of, like, okay, God is enough for me. I'm not going to, like, talk to guys. I'm not going to manipulate situations. But now God's kind of brought me to a place of, okay, I want to get married for His glory and honor. And so... Just in His timing, like, that's kind of where I'm at right now. So.
Yeah. Now, did you look back on college now? I mean, when you got out, and just be like, okay, what happened there?
Not really. No. To be honest, I'm really thankful for the journey I've been on, because I feel like God has shaped me, and He's been able to use me in ways that He wouldn't be able to use if I was in a relationship. Mm-hmm. So I think, I don't know, just knowing that God is faithful no matter what.
Okay. And you're still hopeful in that. I mean, you still want to be married. You know,
yeah. It's like, and it's not a bad thing. And it's not a consuming thing either. It's just, you know, this is where I'm at. Like, I know that God has a plan, whether it involves marriage or not. Like, my life has purpose because of Him.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. What about you, Erica?
In high school, I mean, I always grew up, my parents like, oh, no, you can't date until you're 16. And then when 16 came, I'm like, oh, yes, I can date now.
Yeah.
And no guy asked. I was like, well, that's a bummer. Mm-hmm. And there were guys in high school who wanted to hang out, and for the wrong reasons. And so in high school, I had this kind of bummer perception of guys, like, oh, they just want to use me in a way. And then in college, I was like, well, I'll get involved in a great college ministry, and then... find the right guy.
Yeah, all the guys are there, right?
Yeah, they're all at the college ministry, duh. Mm-hmm. That's where you go. And so...
No, it's ones that lead the college ministry. Yes. Those are the ones that I always went after. I'm like, oh, I totally am going to marry him. Oh, wait,
exactly. The musician on stage.
He's like
12
years older than that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I got really involved in the college ministry, and I have great guy friends, and it was... like, okay, seriously, is one of them going to ask me? I really like him. And then he'd ask my really good friend, and then I would support them in their, like, relationship and stuff. And just, I don't, dating just didn't happen as I thought I would be married by the time I was a senior. And I'm a senior now. It's like, I haven't dated. I haven't been on a date. So just worrying the past 2 years, and then realizing in the last year and a half, I guess, that honestly, that it shouldn't be something that consumes me, that God has a plan, and He will take what I've learned from my friends' relationships, my friends who are getting married now, and showing me that there are godly men out there, and that it is so worth the wait, and that just looking to people who are older and becoming friends with them, and just using my gifts and talents and finding confidence in who I am as myself with God is the most important thing right now for me. So,
you know, it's interesting because I speak on college campuses, and usually if I do Q&As, a lot of times afterwards, students will come up to me and, you know, the questions that they didn't want to ask in front of the whole group, you know, I get. And I get a lot of people, especially women, that come up and they're like, Lisa, I'm now a senior. I'm now getting ready to graduate, and I have not been on a date. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I'm talking about, like, cute girls, people here. Okay, and I just, like, I feel like everyone's mom now, and I'm just like, why haven't you been on a date? And I feel, like, bad for them. Or else guys, you know, who are just like, I've been turned down, I've been down. And I'm like, you look like a quality guy. So it really boggles my mind, because these seem like, you know, great, godly people that are just trying to serve the Lord and are go-getters and are just, you know, attractive. And it just, it's so hard for me to wrap my mind around. And I want to ask you guys, because I know, okay, and if you have not been asked this yet, you will within the next few years. And it is the question, why haven't you dated? What's up? What's that? You know, and it's either some kind of perception of, either you're too picky or, you know, you're not getting out, you're not putting yourself out there, you're not asking Caleb, you're not, you know, what people are going to ask you, you know, these questions. And so what is your response? Or have you thought of formulating a response? Or have you already had to answer this question? And what do you say?
I have to answer it a lot.
Yeah. Even to ourselves, we probably have to answer it. You know, when you sit there.
Family, it's always, well, do you have a boyfriend yet? And was there a guy in your life? And sometimes, I mean, when I was a freshman, I told all these, like, oh, yeah, there's this guy. He's so cute. Even though he hadn't, he didn't do anything. He was just, I was into him.
Oh, okay. And it's just kind of one directional right now. No, I have this guy. His name is Jesus. Yeah. I know. I've used that one. Okay.
But definitely have gotten the, well, you need to put yourself out there. You need to not hang out with girls all the time. And not hang out in big groups of girls, just hang out with, like, the guy and his friends. It's like, well, that's kind of awkward. I don't want to, like, and it's just funny the things that some people, like, try to advise me to do to get a guy. But I don't know.
My response to that question, like, when people are like, you know, don't you need to put yourself out there? Or, I don't know, like, are you being too picky? I don't know. I think I've learned a lot about how I'm going to marry a sinner, and whoever marries me is going to marry a sinner. So, like, I mean, being picky, I mean, in some ways, yes, you have to be, you know, you have to have standards, but at the same time, you need to have a lot of grace. But as far as, like, being worried about when I'm going to get in a relationship, I think that if that's our consuming thought, like, if that's all we can think about, like, that just kind of leads to an empty life, you know? So my answer is always, you know, in Hebrews 12, I say, okay, I'm going to run the race and fix my eyes on Jesus. And if God gives me a partner to run with, great. If he doesn't, like, my life still has purpose because that's the race I'm running. So that's always my answer.
Yeah, that's good.
I think the dating world has become really heavy. Guys have to have intentionality and girls have to guard their hearts. And I think the older model was, dates were light, go to a burger joint. It's very lighthearted. And so I've learned through a discussion, it was a forum called Is Dating Obsolete? The lady that was speaking there, she'd been married in excess of 30 years and she was bringing her old model. And I think the light dating model is more important. How are guys supposed to be intentional? Like, well, I think we need to learn in stages. And girls guarding their hearts, well, yes, purity-wise, but concerning openness and candid conversations, I think they need to loosen up a little bit more, be more winsome than guarded and secretive.
It is interesting. I agree with that. We've gone to extremes in that. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, dating has turned into being so serious that it's like, oh, you want to go get coffee with me? Am I going to marry you? You know, it's like, that's, from first of all, that's scary. But then also, it just, it makes us, I don't know, it's harder to get in a relationship because it is so serious right away. Confusing.
Yeah, I've talked about that some here on Boundless, how I found that, you know, I'll be in a store or something and I've had these random, like, non-Christian guys just come up and ask me out, you know, because for there the bar is so low, you know, and that's, okay, so that's not good. I mean, that's not good. But at the same time, I think that we as Christians could learn something from that of just, like, you know, the purpose of dating is to get to know someone. It's not to say, you know, let me latch onto you and walk forward, you know, into, you know, there has to be that understanding of, you know, this is an exploratory process and it's just, you know, we can have fun. Now, there also has to be a balance of eventually you have to have intention in it and look for a person, you know, ferret out those qualities of the person you're looking for in a spouse and don't just be dating for 12 years with no direction whatsoever. But I think that's a good thing to remember. What have you guys had to battle? I mean, as you've answered these questions from family or friends or even within your own head, has Satan tried to attack you with certain lies about yourself, you know, when it comes to, wow, am I worthy? Am I dateable? Am I, you know, am I ever going to get married? Is there anyone who's going to, you know, pursue me or that's going to want to be pursued? What have you guys had to battle?
For me, it's been confidence in myself and my relationship with Christ and thinking, well, sometimes I feel like my relationship with Christ isn't strong enough and that whoever I might date can't be this awesome leader guy in the church. He has to be on my same level or just, I don't, and Satan's really attacked that in confidence in just my relationship with Christ and just in talents that I have and things that I do and the way I look, I guess. Mm-hmm. He's definitely said, oh, you're not the it girl. You're not outgoing. You can't make a comeback joke. Like, I just, in a group, I don't stand out. And so he's kind of attacked, like, nobody's going to notice you type mentality. And it's, I don't know. Yeah. That's been hard.
Well, okay, Erica, I always have a comeback joke, and I have many guys that I've wanted to ask me out who haven't, so let me just assure you that that's not it. So.
I was going to say, I'm kind of on the opposite side of that. Like, I always feel like, okay, something is wrong with me. I mean, not, I don't believe this. I mean, you have to choose not to believe these things, but these are things, you know, you can hear. It's like, there must be something wrong with me. Maybe if I didn't laugh so loud, or maybe if I was prettier, or maybe, you know, if I was more athletic, or, you know, you try to fix all these things, thinking, oh, that would be the cure, but... I mean, those are all lies, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to be able to distinguish those, yeah.
I didn't really notice the spiritual warfare so much as just being deferred. I did I wrote a letter asking a girl to go to the Cheesecake Factory. I thought that would be incentive enough. But then I got an email response, so it wasn't even the same medium that I had written, and deferring that. I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. Have a nice life.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it can be hard. I know guys get frustrated because it's like, wow, you know, I do just want to casually put it out there. I mean, what, you know, can't you just get to know me? Can't you give me a chance in that sense? And that is hard. Shoot, I would be into the Cheesecake Factory. I'm all over that. Yeah. A piece of cheesecake is like $8, people. That's like
one right it's
there.
Crazy.
Okay.
I mean, I dropped $70 on a blind date.
Wow. Yeah.
But then she didn't want to go on a second one.
Oh
well.
Second date podcast. We just had that.
Yeah, I listened to it.
Yeah, absolutely. That can be frustrating.
I think when it comes to the things like the lies we hear or like the doubts we have, I think we can choose to dwell in that and like dwell in our singleness, or we can choose to abide in Christ. And you can't really focus on him and still dwell in your self-pity, you know? And so I think that when you really fix your eyes on Jesus and like see what he's doing in your life and choose to focus on that, I mean, that makes a huge difference. So like for people out there, you know, who have never been in a relationship, I just think it's important for them to be encouraged that, if we dwell on ourselves and like, oh, I've never done this, oh, my life hasn't started, or, you know, that's not true. God has, his plan is so much, I don't know, it's just, he's able to do more than we ask or imagine, you know? And so I think if we focus on him and his qualities, that helps us turn away from ourselves and really find abundant life that he has.
Yeah, and I think that's true. I think there's also, you know, I know that I have had good godly counselors come alongside me and give me some helpful things, too, as I look towards marriage. You know, not only resting and trusting God and being content where I am, but have you guys received any valuable advice or heard any, whether talks or anything, where you've been like, you know, maybe I have been too closed off, or maybe I have, you know, not pursued someone that maybe I should have or given them a chance. I mean, is there anything where you know, because obviously we're all at this table because we would like to see marriage in our future someday. Is there anything where you're saying, okay, here's something that maybe I can tweak, or here's something where maybe I can be more open, or I can shift my perspective on? What have you learned in that realm?
For me, People ask, are guys being intentional? I am being intentional. I am actually doing search. I have criteria, and I observe. I am in the observer mode. You might not notice or get feedback that I'm observing, but I am looking for those that have are eligible or marriage material. And so
you're not just waiting for it to happen to you,
right? It's intentional but subtle. I'm not announcing that I'll date anybody. I've purposed some criteria, and part of it is
we'll
modesty.
Look for your ad on the Focus Classified scale. We'll see. Okay, whatever.
Christian Mingle.
Yeah.
Right. Call me now at this number.
Exactly. Good.
I think modesty, how a girl presents herself, can be very discerning of her character and outlook. And so I'm understanding their beliefs, where their values are, even before I even talk to them. So yes, I don't base it solely on that, but it is part of the criterion. So if girls want to be more eligible, they should consider that.
from a girl's perspective, I mean, I think this is a tough one because it's like, okay, I'm supposed to be pursued. So what do? Just sit and wait to be pursued, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that, like I said, I mean, in the past, in my early years of college, I kind of had this view of like, okay, I'm not going to date someone until I'm going to marry them. So I need to like really guard myself. But lately, God just kind of been showing me it's okay to be friends with guys and mm-hmm. to, you know, put yourself out there. It doesn't mean you have to be flirty or, you know, overly obsessive or mm-hmm. like, I don't want to come across as like, oh my goodness, I need a boyfriend, because I don't feel that way, mm-hmm. you know? So I think just being yourself, you know, getting involved in groups, having fun, like, I think that's, I don't know, it's also great to have guy friends. Like, mm-hmm. I have a lot of guy friends and they really encourage me just in giving me, you know, different perspectives. I don't know. It's just, I think that's a good thing too. Mm-hmm.
I think some good advice was from my leader in my Bible study group. She's getting married this summer and she's just been a great role model for me. And so watching her and her relationship with her fiance and realizing the steps they took and just realizing that they became friends and that the friends mm-hmm. is really important because that's who you're marrying. You're mm-hmm. marrying your best friend. And so realizing that I've at the same time, it's like, it's not gonna like pop, like the person I'm gonna God has, it's not gonna be like, oh my goodness, like that instant, like I love him, mm-hmm. I'm gonna marry him. It's a friendship and it's a journey that you guys mm-hmm. that we'll go through, mm-hmm. and I think it was important for me to like realize that friendship is the most important thing in the mm-hmm. beginning, and that finding that is, I don't know,
yeah,
the biggest part.
It can also be frustrating when guy friends come to you and say, I just can't find any Christian girls. I'm like, hello. You know?
Yeah, that's hard.
Bonjour.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It is hard. And it's very, I mean, it's kind of like, because God has to work on the hearts of two people,
exactly.
you know, and you wish mm-hmm. that you could just chart your course, or you could, the person you're interested in, just say, you know, like you said, Anna, here I am. Here mm-hmm. I mean, I think two pieces of advice that I've received, or two things, realizations I've had, and I'm obviously further along than you guys. One came from Candace Waters, who obviously founded Boundless, and she mm-hmm. talked about, you know, yeah, especially awesome. Both women and men, do not be ashamed to state your desire for marriage. I mean, mm-hmm. I apparently wandered through my 20s with no one thinking I wanted to get married. Everyone, the vibe I was giving off was that I was all about my career, and I was just going to go forth and take over the world and do this or that. And when I finally said in my 30s, you know, I don't know why I'm not married, I literally had people who I thought knew me say, what? I didn't know you wanted to be married. What? And I'm like, what? What was I communicating that didn't show that? So, I mean, as people know that you're interested in marriage, especially, you know, ladies, that gives mm-hmm. guys confidence to say, okay, at least she's on the same page. At least that's something she's looking forward to. She's not going to be all, you know, crazy. The other thing is to know that God specifically, I think, does steer us towards and away from different people. One of my biggest sadnesses, or I notice the devil can attack me when I go out with a guy, not the guys that I just think are weird or random, but the ones that I think are good quality Christian guys, and say I go out with them once and I don't get a second date, I can immediately say, ugh, what didn't they see in me? What did I do wrong? How could I have done this differently? And to just say, you know, Lisa, God may be specifically just steering you away from this guy mm-hmm. for whatever yeah. reason. He has mm-hmm. someone else for him. You know, it's not you. It's not, you're not a mess. You're not horrible. You're not yeah. so unattractive or disastrous, whatever. I think God's had to really speak truth into my heart for that, because it's very easy for me to compare myself or just say I'm not enough, or I'm not what, you know, this, how can I become what this guy needs or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think so easily guys can fall into that trap too. So, well, hopefully y'all have been encouraged by this conversation today. I so appreciate Erica, Anna, and Caleb for being willing to kind of come and put their hearts on the table in a sense. And hopefully mm-hmm. we'll hear down the road your stories as they move into marriage, whenever God has that for you. And me too. I'm just saying. Anyway, so thanks you guys so much for being part of the conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.